Radio Prague News.
The Senate passes Lex Brexit. The European Commission points to growing regional divide in the Czech Republic. And a special cyber attaché network is being created in important Czech foreign missions. The Senate has passed a bill proposed by the government that seeks to protect the rights of British citizens in the country in case of a no-deal Brexit. The legislation seeks to create an intermediate period lasting until the end of 2020, during which British nationals will retain the same rights as EU citizens. The bill is now expected to be signed by the President. According to the statistics of the Ministry of Interior, there are currently around 8,000 British citizens living in the Czech Republic, 5,000 of whom are employed. The growth of the Czech economy provides the opportunity to deepen structural reforms, the European Commission advised Prague in its annual analysis of economic and social affairs in the Czech Republic. According to the Commission's study, the relatively low rate of social inequality and growing quality of life is masking a growing regional divide in the country. Based on its findings, the Commission advises focus should be put on investments in education and local innovations, while growth potential in the more backward regions of the country should be boosted by digital and transport infrastructure. NÚKIB, the Czech Republic's National Cyber and Information Security Agency, has been building a web of specialized cyber attachés together with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in three strategic foreign missions, Daily Lidové Noviny reports. These specialists have so far been posted in Brussels, Washington and Tel Aviv. Their activities include consultation and information sharing with members of foreign intelligence services. The European Global Navigation Satellite Systems Agency, also known as the GSA, which runs the EU's satellite navigation programs, will undergo an expansion at its headquarters in Prague. This will include hiring dozens of new staff and is likely to be a further boost to the Czech space industry. Representatives of the EU Commission, the European Parliament and individual member states agreed to proceed with the plan in Brussels on Tuesday. The exact amount for the GSA's increased budget, which was proposed by the EU Commission last summer, is yet to be agreed upon. Currently, EU member states are responsible for a third of the world's satellite production, and their combined space industry currently employs nearly a quarter of a million people. President Miloš Zeman has officially proposed to the Senate that Charles University Prorector Aleš Gerloch becomes a constitutional court judge. With three parties already criticising Mr. Gerloch's close relationship with the president, it is unclear whether the nomination will pass in the upper house. Early in February, the president said on TV Barrandov that senators would be wretches if they were interested in who had proposed a nomination rather than the judge himself. However, many parties are uneasy about the relationship between Mr. Gerloch and the president, especially after a January expose by the weekly Respekt cited judges complaining that members of the president's staff were trying to influence them. Industrial regions, which feature large communities of foreign workers, will be regularly policed by joint patrols made up of policemen from the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Poland, Interior Minister Jan Hamáček told journalists at a press conference on Wednesday. After signing a memorandum of cooperation with the region of Central Bohemia that seeks to combat problems associated with foreign workers in industrial zones. According to Mr. Hamáček, tens of Slovak and Polish policemen will undertake work visits in cities such as Mladá Boleslav and Pilsen. Such cooperation has shown itself useful in the past, the Interior Minister said, and he is now discussing details of implementing such a project again with his Polish and Slovak counterparts. The Social Democrats' Tomáš Petříček believes the party must target urban voters if it is to turn around its electoral fortunes, the news site Aktuálně.cz reported. The Minister of Foreign Affairs intends to stand for a deputy leader's post at a Social Democrats' Congress this weekend. Mr. Petříček said it was necessary to attract new voters and to regain the trust of urban voters especially. The Social Democrats need to win over those who now back the Czech Pirate Party, Aktuálně.cz quoted him as saying. The Social Democrats headed the previous government but only gained 7% in the last general elections. The Czech Republic's Food Banks organization has opened its first kitchen and begun offering cooking lessons, Czech television reported. The charity says that many impoverished people don't eat healthily and don't know how to handle the foodstuffs it provides them. On Tuesday, professional chefs provided instruction at the Food Bank's first cooking course. It plans to offer free lessons to single parents, seniors, and the unemployed once a month. Last year, the organisation redistributed foods at a value of 225 million crowns. A law introduced in January requires large outlets to provide all their waste foodstuffs to the food banks. And as far as the weather is concerned, the sun is expected to shine across the Czech Republic on Thursday, with some clouds appearing in the western and eastern regions. Temperatures are set to hover between 14 to 17 degrees Celsius. However, rain is expected to come during the night. That is all the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, we look back at 6 decades of VOA broadcasting in Czech. The Czech Republic returns to the Triennial in Milan after a 50-year break, and the Masopust celebrations are culminating around the country ahead of Ash Wednesday. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Voice of America, today the largest U.S. government-funded international broadcaster, ceased its Czech language broadcast exactly 15 years ago today, on the 27th of February of 2004, shortly ahead of the country's accession to the European Union. The move followed budget cuts by the U.S. Congress, and with a Cold War long over, a shift to new audiences and new priorities. We look back at the station's local legacy.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
VOA began broadcasting in the Czech language in 1942, the very year it was established, and continued to do so throughout the Cold War, when it was, for the most part, less subject to jamming than its more famous counterpart, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. The Voice, as the station is also known, was born during the propaganda battles of World War II. It was continued during peacetime under a special act to combat Soviet propaganda and operated by the U.S. State Department. In its earliest days, the Czech broadcast was best known to listeners for shows featuring the comedic acting duo of Jiří Voskovec and Jan Werich, who broadcast to their occupied country via VOA. In a 1945 piece airing on the anniversary of Czechoslovakia's founding, Werich, then in New York, addressed listeners at home.
Nazdar, přátelé, tady je Voskovec minus Werich u amerického kukátka.
Greetings, friends. This is Voskovich minus Werich at my American eyepiece. Today we're celebrating our October freedom. After the first October 28th in 1918, today is the most beautiful of all the 27 October 28th since then. Not just because after so many years we're celebrating it freely again. This year, as well as our October freedom, we also have our May freedom.
While RFE concentrated on the internal affairs of the Soviet Union and its satellites, VOA, as the official arm piece of the American government, was somewhat less provocative, its mission being to inform the world about Washington's take on events, not to present a direct alternative news source. And so it was tolerated. In April 1964, for example, while Czechoslovakia discontinued its jamming of VOA and the BBC, it was still blocking RFE transmissions. After the Warsaw Pact invasion, the USSR resumed massive jamming of both up until 1973.
Welcome to the Voice of America in Czech.
This isn't to say that VOA was apolitical or welcomed with open arms. For example, journalist Ivan Medek, based in Vienna, regularly delivered news about the Charter 77 protest movement. And by the second half of the 1980s, VOA was even more openly political. It was also the most listened to foreign station broadcasting in Czech and got its first Prague correspondent, a Czech-speaking U.S. journalist who interviewed dissidents such as Václav Havel and Jiří Dienstbier. But it may well have been soft power, programs dedicated to books, films, and music, that drew most listeners in. Writer Josef Skvoretsky, for example, hosted a show reviewing books and interpreting literature. Sometimes broadcasters even explained the English language lyrics in real time, such as to Louis Armstrong's It's a Wonderful World.
I see trees of green.
Vidím zelené stromy.
Red roses too.
Rudé růže.
I see them bloom.
Jak kvetou.
For me and you.
pro nás dva.
And I think to myself,
a tak si říkám,
what a wonderful world.
Jaký to báječný svět.
Brian Kennedy with that report. Moving on now, after a break of nearly 50 years, the Czech Republic will be participating in the Milan Triennial, a prestigious international showcase for contemporary artists and designers. The Czech Republic will be represented by two works of art, the Out of Power Tower by Krzysztof Kintera and Lithopy by Denisa Kera, which explore the theme of energy waste and mock the current craze for cryptocurrencies. Ruth Frankova reports.
The 22nd edition of La Triennale di Milano, which gets underway this Friday, is titled Broken Nature, Designs Takes on Human Survival, and explores people's fractured relationship with the planet. The main exhibition brings together 120 architecture and design projects from all over the world. The Czech showcase was produced by the Museum of Decorative Arts in Prague and explores the problem of mineral extraction, scarcity of resources, and man's drive for endless energy production. Helena Koenigsmarkova is the head of the museum and outlines the details.
We asked Krzysztof Kintera because he is very focused on the theme of broken nature, this kind of wasting our nature, etc. And he created a new sculpture which is made from used batteries. He assembled it in the tower which is called Out of Power Tower. It means the used batteries represents the waste of the energy and what will happen with it after we use it. So we are really curious how people will accept it.
Another Czech project called Lithopy was created by artists Denisa Kera and Petr Šourek and reacts to the recently discovered lithium reserves in the Czech Republic and to the current boom in cryptocurrencies. Using a multi-screen movie, it presents a utopian community located in the close vicinity of lithium reserves where people use satellite and drone data to govern all their affairs. The Milan Triennial, one of the oldest events of its kind, was established in 1923 in Monza before moving to Milan 10 years later. Czechoslovakia took part already in its first edition and has since won a number of awards. Among the Czech artists who won a golden medal at the Milan Triennial were graphic designer Ladislav Sutnar, photographer Josef Sudek or stage and exhibition designer František Troster. After a break of several years at the peak of the Cold War, Czechoslovakia successfully returned to the Milan Triennial in 1957, and according to Helena Koenigsmarkova, celebrated the country's biggest success so far.
I think it was really the 57. It was the start, then followed by Expo in Brussels. So this representation of recovering arts and design, which wasn't so easy to show in our country itself, but for representation, it was successful. 57 was organized by our museum, so there is a kind of tradition also.
The 22nd International Exhibition of La Triennale di Milano will run in the North Italian city until the 1st of September.
Ruth Frankova with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature. Masopust, the time of carnivals, which historically ended on Ash Wednesday, is the oldest continuous holiday feast in the Czech lands. In terms of cultural memory, it is also the longest still transmitted, its significance and meaning passed down from generation to generation. Brian Kennedy has more.
Masopust, the time of carnivals which historically ended on Ash Wednesday, is the oldest continuous holiday feast in the Czech lands. In terms of cultural memory, it is also the longest still transmitted, its significance and meaning passed down from generation to generation. While it has been marked for centuries, since the collapse of communism there has been a mushrooming of celebrations, especially in urban and suburban areas, with the carnivalesque, rather than the religious aspect, firmly front and center.
Už ty z popelnice, na krásu, se slevou, s příkladkem, s kečupem z hosticí.
Historically, Masopust lasted from the last night of the 12 days of Christmas, marking the coming of the Epiphany, until Ash Wednesday, the last day before Lent, a time for self-denial, repenting sins, and almsgiving in preparation for Easter. In olden times, especially the last few days of the Masopust period, also known as Fashank and Konchini, were an official holiday for feasting and general excess ahead of 40 long days of Lent. While that's no longer the case for many participants, the celebrations just ahead of Ash Wednesday, which this year falls on the 6th of March, are among the most wild and definitely the most meaty. Alice Glaserova, an ethnographer from the regional museum in Český Krumlov, South Bohemia, explains.
Tou popeleční středou začíná vlastně 40-denní postní období, které předchází vlastně těm velikonocům.
Ash Wednesday traditionally begins 40 days of basically giving things up in preparation for Easter. And during that period, most people would forgo meat. But public entertainments were also basically forbidden. For example, there would be no dances. So the whole Masopust period, on the contrary, is all about having a good time, singing, dancing and eating. Meat from suckling pigs and other delicacies were served. It was a time rich in meat, but also in snacks deep fried in pork fats, such as řízky, pork cutlets, and koblihy, sugar-dusted doughy treats. People also often indulged in alcohol. In regions of Bohemia, this generally means beer, and of course in Moravia it was wine.
Nemírnému pití vlastně alkoholu, kde vlastně v českých oblastech dominuje to pivo, ale na Moravě samozřejmě víno.
In the Czech lands, the day before Ash Wednesday, known as Fat Tuesday in English, often culminates in a pig slaughter feast called a zabijačka, literally a killing. In villages and towns, later often a dance is held in the evening, for example at the town hall or on the main square. The one constant these days is variety, says Dr. František Sinek, an ethnographer and historian who describes a typical Masopust in his part of southern Moravia.
We celebrate it on just one day with a Sunday parade. But other regions in the Czech Republic hold celebrations over more days, over the weekend, even all the way through to Fat Tuesday. The processions make the rounds in different villages. Often they're dressed as animals, wearing bear, goat, horse and bull masks, but they also dressed as specific people or types of people. There are many, many disguises. Some masks are mythical, you could say, but the parades are always joyful. People in masks try to draw in those who are just watching, get them to dance along with them. They take different forms in different regions. Some are more orchestrated, where each participant plays a role, plays a part in an overall theme. Often there is a kind of a lead narrator who reads a poem or his own verse, stopping before each house and then continuing.
Masopust literally means giving up meat. So it was the meat fest before the fast. Whereas in the old days, celebrations tended to last several days and peak on Fat Tuesday. Nowadays, they tend to be held on a single weekend day, and neighboring villages and regions try to space them out so as not to compete with one another. Just as much of the religious significance has been lost, so too have the political origins of the pre-Lent carnival processions. In medieval Europe, in part, this was a profane entertainment that arose from the amusement of otherwise pious clerks and the imaginations of theatrical troupes sanctioned by the powers that be. It was a time for the reversal of roles, where jesters could act as kings, men as women, and so on. It was also a time for ritualized social protest ahead of a literal and figurative return to sobriety. Ethnologist Aleš Votruba of the Regional Museum in Kolín explains the delicate balance.
Masopust to vlastně byl po celý středověk v takovém jako zvláštním postavení, protože církev k němu měla takový ambivalentní vztah.
Masopust has a special position throughout the Middle Ages, as the church had an ambivalent view towards it.
from the Renaissance on, the pre-Christian roots were too obvious. People already knew that in medieval Rome, the carnival was celebrating the god Saturn, and they were strikingly similar to our Masopust as it was celebrated in the 16th century in Europe. So the church looked at it with distrust, but at the same time it recognized that the carnival was a kind of safety valve which allowed people to blow off steam and then go back to observing the Christian commandments.
Potom přejít do toho postního období, ve kterém budou dodržovat všechna ta křesťanská přikázání k ústu.
Somewhat counterintuitively, expressions of protest against the social order can be viewed as activities that in fact serve to maintain this order. In other words, breaking common taboos and restrictions markedly serve to strengthen them. Nonetheless, as Alash Voltruba notes, the communists were not too keen on freewheeling celebrations like Masopust.
Dalo by se říci, že v období komunismu, kdy organizovat něco jaksi spontánně bylo problematické.
As in so many other areas, they tried to supplant or reinterpret the tradition to glorify the building of socialism.
Na mnoha místech se ty masopusty neudržely, že třeba se.
And so the tradition disappeared from some areas, but didn't die out entirely. It was reborn and reinvented after 1989 to varying degrees and with great variety.
A jakmile padnul komunistický režim, tak se začaly vlastně organizovat spontánně masopusty na místech, kde ta tradice byla přerušena.
Among the biggest masopust processions today is in a town north of Prague called Rostoki, which is led by an annually changing Queen of Masopust, a local rarity. Acting as the vanguard in the procession are so-called ometachki, or sweepers, traditionally older women who, in a dancing motion, clear the path of spectators. Spectators who, if not wearing costumes, may well wind up wearing lipstick or face paint, willingly or otherwise.
Vážená paní starostová, přemilý pane starosto, staročeská maškara přišla, aby vás srdečně pozdravila.
In Prague's Letnet district, meanwhile, which has only had a Masopust procession for a few years, the local mayor has been wont to dress like Bacchus and give a humorous speech to pass his rites into the hands of the Masopust actors, all in good fun and in the name of the social order.
That feature by Brian Kennedy, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And of course, you can always follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Zarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.